Welcome back to the William Hill Fight Camp podcast. It's your host here, David Alorca, and we're looking ahead to Friday night's second Fight Camp show at Matchroom HQ. We're into week two after last Saturday's Eggington versus Cheeseman opener, and what an absolutely cracking fight night that was. Eddie promised us 50-50 fights all over the card, entertainment, pyrotechnics, fireworks. There was all of that and more. Not to mention the main event, Eggington versus Cheeseman didn't disappoint with an absolute humdinger. Potential fight for fight of the year. It was a 12-round brawl with Cheeseman coming out the unanimous decision winner. Terry Harper and Tasha Jonas take center stage for this one, which is the first ever all-British world title fight. And going off the back of last week, this is going to be an all-out war. So in tonight's episode, we hear from both main event fighters. Trainer Joe Gallagher gives his tactical insight. Coach Jamie Moore discusses young Akib Fiaz's development. The Machine, Anthony Fowler, looks to make it four wins in a row. And Chris Billam-Smith makes the first defense of his Commonwealth Cruiserweight crown. Up first, Joe Gallagher.
At the end of the day, it's got to come down to skill set and a chance to become history. Natasha being the first person to ever qualify for the Olympics, female. First one to box for Great Britain as a female. And now Liverpool, the way they're going at the moment with the football, Callum Smith, who wouldn't write Natasha off becoming a world champion and being the first world champion from Liverpool. It'd be a fantastic story. Know her, Katie Taylor, Chantel Cameron. We've got to go before it, Jane Couch, Savannah Marshall. But like you say, that these would be the pioneers for women to get it where it is now. To sit. So it allowed the rest coming out. Daniel Dubois, sister Shannon Courtney turning professional. All these girls now, Sandy Ryan, I mean, these are at the front. They led the way. Katie's going to have a fantastic career. And obviously Terry Harper is as well at the moment. But like you say, it's history. It's the first female British all-class world title. And they're fighting for two world titles, the IBO and the WBC, which many seem to think is the best belt in the game. And no matter what, Tasha just wants green and gold, whichever belt it is. So it's fantastic, and to be a part of history, and for her and her family. I like saying Natasha at the age of 36, training like a woman possessed at the age of 23, like Terry Harper, it shows that. And I think I'm glad people have come and been in the gym and seen that today, that we're deadly serious in this. And when I sounded like Julia Roberts the other week saying huge mistake, but it was just a case of, we're absolutely on this. Do you know what I mean? The thing is, by not having crowds for this, it's a good thing. Tasha's used to boxing all over the world, trying to qualify for Olympic events in sports halls where no one's there. Terry, of late, is used to them big crowds at Doncaster, them roaring fans, ringside, everything else. This will be like an outdoor sparring session to see him. And I think Natasha's a bit more familiar in them surrounds. Not inspiring, but in high competition than what Terry is. So there's lots of things. So when you look at things and you try to look for any type of advantage, you look at
them type of things. But like you say,
Terry, she's got to come for it. Huge pressure on her.
She says there isn't, but there is. She's the world champion.
She's the huge favourite.
We're a massive underdog. Everyone's expecting her to win.
You just got to love the way that Joe breaks down the way in which you can see the fight panning out based on the atmosphere and the elements that surround Fight Camp itself. What a trainer. Now, there ain't many world titles that elude him as a trainer, but the WBC world title is one of them. Can that change on Friday night? The person that can do that, though, is Tasha Jonas. Surely, it's now or never for her. We hear from Miss GB next.
Every time I've come back into boxing, there's always been a reason, like unfinished business. And I think to having to hold the belt would be finally that unfinished business, and it will complete the whole, you know, the cycle of I feel that I haven't achieved everything that I needed to. I think that'll make me complete. She's young, she's hungry, she's proved that she can do 10 rounds, she's fit. But I also think that some of them things can be undoing. You know, when you're young, sometimes you're a bit naive, you can be a bit over eager when you're hungry to, and you know, she's been talking about stopping the fight early and stuff, so, you know, we'll see. That's all I can say. She's done everything after that. She's beaten people I couldn't. She's beaten experienced girls in Eva Wahlström. She's took the title, she's got the title, and I've just got to take that off her. Hats off to her, everything she's done, the time that she's had out. I've got nothing bad to say about her. I'm not as I say, I am realistic in I've just got to bring the best version of me, and I don't think she can deal with that. I think she's the bookies' favourite. I think, judging by some social media comments, she is possibly edging the fans' favourite. There was no pressure on me. I think she put out a statement the other day saying that there was, but I don't believe there is. She's the champion. She's got to keep hold of it. She's been very vocal about how she's going to keep hold of it, and she's got to go out and prove that. Hats off to her. Air and Steffi Baldy don't want to take the easy road. I think sometimes it's easy to do that, especially for the males because of the depth in the sport. But, you know, she's, you know, whether she sees me as an easy opponent, we'll see. But, you know, the fight was there, she took it, and I can't argue with that. I will appreciate it, and I'll be thanking her when I've got my title.
That's the challenger, and now here's the champion. 10-0 Terry Harper is one of the rising stars in British boxing. Making the first defence of a world title, Harper knows that victory would tee up a potential unification bout.
I mean, I strongly believe that if I didn't take the break away from boxing that I did as an amateur, there would have been a big possibility chance that I could have got myself on the GB team, whether it's the development squad or what. But I believe I could have got up there. But it's everyone takes a different path, and I'm just glad now this is my opportunity. I've had time to work and learn my craft. I only had 19 amateur fights, so I've been able to learn on the small old shows for Steffi. And right now I'm on the big stage and I get to show everyone. And it's not giving me a chip on my shoulder or anything. We're all in the same boat. Well, amateur and professional is completely different games. So I know you shouldn't really like a win's a win for me. But yeah, there's a few watching a few of Tasha's fights, but obviously I've got weaknesses, everyone's got weaknesses, but she gets caught quite a lot. So and I know I'm big, strong, super featherweight. When I'm getting back in ring, I'm easy 10-12 pound heavier than what I weighed in at the day before. So I've got a bit of meat behind my punches. So I strongly believe I could get a stoppage over Tasha if I went down and had that bit of fierce.
Now, from one title fight to another, I wouldn't blame you if you called Matchroom's fight camp the gift that keeps on giving. Chris Billam-Smith's fight with unbeaten Nathan Dawley is rescheduled for May the 9th. CBS is focused on the task at hand. Don't get it twisted. But make no mistake, he wants that rematch with Richard Riakpor.
Obviously, strange times for everyone. Something that I'm not used to, especially since I've turned pro. I've been away for probably 90-95% of the year. 3 months at home and self-motivating again and finding things that would keep me motivated by finding training that I enjoyed and stuff like that. Feel like I definitely used the time to my benefit and become a better athlete for it. After 3 months off, it was a bit different, but all the banter and stuff, and all that's all still there. So it's all, it's good laugh having all the lads back. I believe it'll be tricky for early on. I think it'll be quick hands, quick footed. Thing is, it's not like I'm a flat footed fighter without a high work rate. I box at a really high work rate the whole time anyway, so I'll be working with him. I think he'll just tire a lot sooner, and I believe I'll hit a lot harder than him as well. So he's got range, he's got quick hands, he's got a boxing brain, he's got good ability. But also, it's a big step up for him, I believe, from his previous fights. But we'll see how he deals with the occasion. It's different for all of us in the sense that there's not going to be any fans, but the occasion of it being a first 12 rounder, it's up at cruiserweight against someone who is a cruiserweight, you know, naturally. And he's, you know, I'm building into the weight all the time, so it'd be interesting to see how strong he is in there. Since the Glover fight, I've been out sparring Maris Bredius, who's obviously the world number one, so that was a great experience for me and learned so much out there. And that was like having another fight under my belt, because you're in a foreign country. It's probably more beneficial than my first 6-7 fights all put together. So I think definitely the more experience you get naturally, you're going to settle down and sit down a little bit more, take your time and pick shots out. So yeah, I think that's what you'll see of me on August 7th.
Billam-Smith's stablemate Anthony Fowler also fights on the card, making it a busy night for trainer Shane McGuigan. The Machine recently made a switch to the McGuigan base in Kent, and believes he's improving fight by fight.
Yeah, it was a nicer lockdown in some ways because I've been traveling for like 10 years. I was in GB for 6 years, or 7 years even. And as a pro, I was based in Sheffield on my own. So just to have like a little bit of time in Liverpool around my friends and family. I know I couldn't really do much, but just being at home was nice for me. So I had a nice little break from reality. I feel as though I'm coming to my own a bit now as a pro. I've had a few years, so I've adapted. Like, obviously, I was at the start of knocking one out, it was really easy for me. I honestly just got killed, I got beat, and then my next few fights I was a bit too cautious, and I was still winning, but I weren't boxing and flowing with it the way I can. So I want to get back to my old deadly self, but I'm wiping kids out, but I'm doing it in a smart way. I calculated not going out there trying to blast them out round one, but I'm breaking them up slowly and I'm being more methodical and more like professional. I want to be going forward now. I think I've been a bit stalled the last few years since my defeat at boxer around domestic level, and I want to like push on. I want to prove I'm better than that. And my coach has obviously got high ambitions and high standards to reach his box. So many world title fights. I want to be pushing on. I don't want to be like floating around domestically. I'm not getting any younger, so it's time to push on now. Yeah, I know he's a tough and determined fighter. He's beat a few unbeaten boxers, I think. He's always in the away corner, one of them fighters, but he's a tough lad, determined lad. He's only lost one fight, never been stopped, so he's going to come with him ambition to win and try and upset me and make a name off beating myself, so I'll be fully prepared, but I always am. Like, I've got a really good coach, a really good mindset, and I'll be in the ring at my very peak, so I will make a statement at fight camp.
While we're 3 years into Fowler's pro career, another man on the card's journey is just starting. Young Aqib Fiaz makes his official matchroom debut this Friday. The 5-0, 20-year-old big ticket seller will find it slightly different fighting behind closed doors. But trainer Jamie Moore is predicting big, big things.
The first time I saw Aqib was he walked in this gym. I'd asked Nige Travis to get me an amateur who was around about the same weight as Carl, who was high-octane, pressure sort of fighter, who would be able to spar with Carl for, say, 3-4 rounds to get him ready for Josh Warrington. So he said, there's a kid who I know, he's a good kid, can fight, he's only 17. So I said, do you think he'll be okay with Carl? He said, yeah, I reckon he'll be all right. He's a lightweight, so he's a little bit bigger, but I think he'll be okay. So he came in, jumped in the ring, sparring with Carl, and within a minute, I was like, tonight, geez, he can fight this kid. Not intimidated one bit, jumped straight down Carl's throat, started putting on him. So I was impressed with him straight away. And then instead of us bringing in other guys to sort of mix in with the sparring, we ended up just using Aqib for a full 6 weeks, and he ended up doing 8 rounds with him. So I knew then he was 17, you know, as I say, he wasn't intimidated, and even then he had a decent enough engine on him to be in there with Carl and go 8 rounds. So that was the end of it. And then I saw him at the show. He was having meetings about turning pro, and he asked if he'd be able to come down here and train with us. And we are busy, we're really busy, but I had no hesitation in saying yeah, because, you know, I knew I could just tell by his demeanour he's going to be a special kid, and since he turned pro, he's come on leaps and bounds. He's really improved. I think just not especially anything to do with me. You know, I've got to be brutally honest. I think just the fact that he's surrounded by good fighters. You know, Carl, Jack Catterall, Martin Murray, Rocky Fielding, Tommy Coyle. You know, he's just Chantal Cameron, invaluable. And I've said to him from an early point when he first turned pro, get in the gym earlier, a little bit earlier than everyone else. We'll go through stuff. I'll sort of try and add those little things where I think it could improve you as a fighter, and then just get a chair, sit down, and just absorb it all. You know, watch the lads train, watch the work ethic, have a look at some of the stuff they do, what's good, and pick little parts of their styles and try and incorporate it into your own. And he's done it over the last 18 months since he's been a pro. You can really see he's grown as a fighter. He's more confident in himself now, his punch power's improving, and his ring generalship more than anything. So he was an out and out scrapper initially, and I was like, listen, you can box, you really, really can box. So I said, that should be your backup plan, rather than your first plan. So he started to bring that into his game now, and obviously he's nowhere near the finished article. He's well on his way to improving and making those adjustments. But I think, you know, in 2 years' time, you're going to be looking back going, this is a special fighter. I have had a conversation with Eddie, and he knows that I don't want him spoon-fed. I think he's good enough to take a few risks, and it'll improve him as a fighter, and it'll be better for his education. So yeah, we're definitely not wrapping him in cotton wool. And originally, or normally say the crowd, the audience watching on Sky are going to be in for a cracker. It really will gel. I think if it was a four or a six rounder, it probably would have been a little bit more one-sided for our kid because of his style, but it makes it more interesting it being an eight, and that's why we accepted it over eight, because he'll probably think we'll drag him into the deep water and drown him. But I think he'll be surprised with Akib's ring generalship and his defence, the way he can manoeuvre people, his strength. You know, his record don't suggest that he's a puncher, but I think he'll be surprised.
And that's a wrap for week two. Don't miss all the action this Friday. And don't worry, we'll bring you another betting preview with Eddie Hearn in the coming days. Don't miss it. I'm David Alorca. You've been listening to the William Hill Fight Camp podcast, and I'm out of here.